It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you for each and every one of you joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, live with intention. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And we are at our point in history. And so step into each day and engage in conversations with your friends and your family and your colleagues, because we have an epic battle of ideas that we are fighting right now. I am thrilled to have in studio with me one of my most favorite people in the whole world, and that is Jen Hewlin. You know her. She is the owner of Water's Edge Winery. She has been a sponsor partner of the show for a long time. And when I did the promo, I said, say it ain't so, but you're closing the winery.
Hi, good morning, and well, good day, I guess, depending on when this is running. Yeah, unfortunately, we have made the very difficult decision to close down. It's been a long time coming, and I think it's, although I'm going to miss everything, I think it's just an important time for me to move on to the next chapter.
Well, and just the outpouring of people that support you and love you, it's just been amazing, hasn't it?
It has. I'm absolutely blessed. Although I appreciate everybody coming in, it's actually more work for me. So we've been there very, very late nights over the last 2 weeks. We're running out of all the wine and the food, but we are still serving. We'll be closing this Thursday on the 15th of July.
Well, Jen Hewlin, it's a road. I know that it isn't just the whole COVID thing. There's other things that are going on. And This next chapter, I think, is going to be very exciting. But I know that I'm really sad. There's something magical. We've had meetings there. We did the Federalist study of the Federalist Papers. We've done voters' guide events. And I just will always look at that place as a very magical place.
Well, just wait, because I'm going to have to create a whole new magical place, I think, because that is literally what has filled my cup, right? It's not always just filled with wine. It has all of my wonderful friends, my girlfriends, all of my conservative friends, and liberal friends. I have lots of people that come in for many different reasons, right? People have come in over the years because they're getting married, they're engaged, they break up, they make up, I've done weddings there. It's literally been a fabulous place for the community to gather. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel a little bit like the old time, you know, like the founding fathers. Mm-hmm. They gathered in pubs and basements
and talked about ideas.
And they talked about ideas, and they argued, they fought, they cajoled, they raised a glass. And you know, great things came from that. And I feel like great things have come from Water's Edge. And I'm not done. I'm not done fighting. So I know a lot of people out there are unhappy because they feel like I've given up, and I'm not. I haven't given up. I'm just walking away from the winery piece of it. But I don't know exactly what the future is going to hold. And I am going to take a little time to myself, go visit.
You've been working so hard.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't had a weekend off in 6 years.
Yeah.
But it'll be really nice to reconnect with my husband. And, you know, we still have all the equipment. So wine might still be flowing. I just won't be able to sell it, per se. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, and you have been a partner of the show and supported us. And I so appreciate that, because I, like you, am an entrepreneur. I buy my airtime. And I do that because that way I'm not constricted by, you know, buy things out there. I can select guests. I can select topics. And it's a lot of work as well. But you have supported us and been such a great partner. Oh. And you are just, gosh, you're just a great friend. And I just so admire you.
That is one of the hard things. And I knew telling you was going to be difficult for me, because I want to support you, because what you're doing is so, so important. And if you guys are out there listening right now and you have a business, advertise with Kim. It's not terribly expensive. She's super reasonable. And you get this great opportunity to sit down and speak with a wonderful woman. And you got Steve over here. He's amazing. Hi, Steve. And but anyway, so be a part of this, right? We need to support people like you and businesses like you that are telling the truth, because so few people are speaking the truth, especially here in Colorado. The truth is hidden, and we need to make sure that our voices are elevated above the din of socialism and all the horrible things that we're witnessing.
Right. And the other thing, people can actually individually support us as well by going to the website and contributing. And I really appreciate each and every one of you doing that. I'm so glad that you're in studio. In the third and fourth segment, we're going to be talking with Valerie Richardson. And she is a writer with the Washington Times. She's written a piece about Stacey Abrams. That with Stacey Abrams, you know, she ran for governor in Georgia. And they're talking about these Georgia laws that you have to provide ID in absentee voting. Duh.
Right.
And they actually expanded voting hours or time that people can vote. And she had this big brouhaha. And so they moved the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver. It's going to be played here in Denver tonight. And I also think it was a reward for Polis for all of his draconian things that he's done, because, man, it happened just like that. You know that they didn't it didn't just happen. There was lots of talk about that. But anyway, Georgia lost $100 million. And Valerie said it's Stacey Abrams' fault.
Right. It's so controversial. I can't believe that. And well, and it, selfishly, I actually love it, because what we just witnessed is the governor went through and lifted all of his 400 or most of them, I think, of his 400, what are they called?
His executive orders.
Executive orders, thank you. So from a selfish standpoint, I'm very grateful for that. But my concern is, if it was lifted just for this game, what happens when the game's over?
Oh, I know.
Do we hear super spreader event and lockdowns again? Because, you know, I'm praying that the good people of Colorado can see through this farce and not go back down that path again. But Delta variant.
Well, and yes, I know. And Patty was, I saw her on Sunday, and she's like, because we reported that he lifted his executive orders. Mm-hmm. Well, kind of, sort of. And she's like, he didn't really. So she said, even though he ended his health emergency orders, rescinding many of the executive orders, it's like, but all of these agencies and DORA, the Department of Regulatory Affairs, they didn't raise their or get rid of theirs.
Interesting. Okay.
So, again, I think he's very, very attuned politically.
Political, yes.
And he's, I think he has really good handlers. So this appeared, and we reported on it as well. Yes, this is great, but not so fast. Mm. But he's very good as far as his messaging. Steve, producer Steve, I know that you want to, you can't get a word in edgewise when Jen and I are together.
No, I really wasn't trying, but when Jen mentioned the Delta variant, it's like, don't forget, the variants are getting in line now. We have the Delta, it's with us now. There's another one on the horizon, the Lambda, L-A-M-D-A variant is out there. So they're going to take this, they're just going to keep on driving. So my curiosity is there, too. Once the game is over, you know, after tonight, let's see what happens.
Yes, I think it's going to be very interesting. And you know what, Jen? I used to be a sports hound.
Yeah.
It takes time to be a sports hound. And now, with all that we have going on, I really don't watch things. But I am so sad about what is happening to sports. And here are, I mean, what a country where a young kid with some talent, some athletic talent, can, you know, make a fortune playing kids' games. It's an amazing thing. And the fact that some of these athletes are not grateful to this great country that has done this. And then we see what's happening with the some of these athletes with the Olympics, as we're preparing for the Olympics, not honoring our country. It's like, then get out.
Right. True. Absolutely. 100%. So I grew up in Detroit, and my grandfather used to take us to opening day at Tiger Stadium every year. And it's forever in my heart. I'm also a big hockey fan, but I won't say which team, obviously, from Detroit.
Step carefully here.
Does it have a color like Red Wings
it
or something?
It might. But yeah, you know, my heart, I think the heart of the United States of America is those national pastimes, the popcorn, the hot dogs, the crack of the bat. And it is interesting to see we've got all of these young people that have been indoctrinated to believe that America sucks, even though while they're standing there at home base, you know, on their knee, or I should say kneeling at home base while the national anthem is played, and they're cashing in these huge checks to play their sports, they just don't realize. And, you know, people are young and they're dumb, and someday they'll be like, oh, my gosh, I was such a fool. I'm hoping. They have that aha moment. We all have, right?
Well, we were not indoctrinated like this. And this is by Sherry Pfeiff with, it was Complete Colorado. CSU is going to mandate diversity training as core curriculum requirements for graduating. I tell you what, we need to stop funding these colleges. I paid for two CSU
for your
degrees
kids.
There. Yep,
right.
And this is really, really sad. But we have got to, donors, if you're donating to CSU, you need to quit doing it. Parents, don't send your kids to CSU. The problem is now is kids then can take out all this debt to attend these colleges to be indoctrinated. And we need to turn the monetary spigot off here down at the legislature as well for these public universities to use taxpayer dollars to pay to have our kids indoctrinated to hate our country is just beyond belief.
And then they come out and they're angry because they have $100,000 in debt and they become a barista because they got a degree in underwater basket weaving or whatever the class of the day is, or the degree
women's
of the
studies.
Day. Women's studies, yeah. Mm-hmm. So people don't think about that, right? Dance. I got a degree in dance. I'm like, did you need a degree to dance? I mean, to me, I get you want to do something you love, but get a degree in accounting and be a dancer. Just don't go to college. You don't need to go to college to be a dancer. Just dance.
Right.
There's great troops out there that you can join. One of my favorite people is Mike Rowe. I don't know if you're familiar with his Mike Rowe works. Mm-hmm. I listen to his podcast. And I just love his stories, and his mom's hilarious. But he is a big advocate for not going to college and going to trade schools and just getting out there and getting your education from the school of hard knocks.
Well, and let's think about this. How fair is this that somebody chooses to go to college and take on all this debt, but somebody over here goes to trade school to become a plumber or an electrician, which you make a great living doing that, and they choose not to go to college? Why is it that they should work and pay taxes that then are used over here, first of all, for somebody's education that then they're concerned about their college loans, but then also to have a college such as CSU mandating diversity training instead of the things that will make you a success,
right?
And that is reading, writing, arithmetic, science, critical thinking. And this isn't just at CSU. They're starting this. They want to start this down in preschool.
I'll tell you, I do have to say, I married a plumber, so I know they make good money and they make good wine, just so you know. Thank you, Chad, if you're listening. But yes, 100%. It makes no sense. It's this mentality of an entitlement, right? I am owed. Because I'm American, I am owed a free education, I am owed a job, I'm owed whatever, your stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I've had this conversation with some young kids that have come to work for me over the years, and I said, well, exactly how much of my money do I owe you? How much are you entitled to? So every paycheck, should I just hand you the money? And they're like, well, no, it's not like that. I'm like, yes, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So I just think, you know, I try, and that's one of the things as a business owner that I've tried to do over the years is I bring in these young kids and I break them down and try to teach them the Constitution.
Susan Kochevar,
yeah, right.
Both of you.
Bless you, Susan. I just saw her this weekend, too.
Okay.
She's amazing.
Boy,
but
there's a team to work for. Oh, my.
We're a triple threat. Kim, Susan, and Jen.
Watch out.
But yes, absolutely. So that's what you have to do, right? And I've actually had people leave my business employees that just couldn't handle the truth. And it's like, well, I'm not going to stop talking. This is my pulpit. This is my bully pulpit. I'd stand behind the bar and wipe glasses and talk about, you know, wax poetic about all things constitutional. And but the team I've got right now, either they ignore me or they agree with me because I haven't had any arguments with them. But
well, and you know what I've seen? They have watched and they have learned so much. And we're going to go to break. But once again, when we're talking about free college, then I think in fact, like up here at CSU, then those professors that are advocating for free college and diversity training and mandating vaccines, actually, they should be working for free.
Yeah,
right?
100%.
If free college, they should be working for free. Ha. Okay, we're going to go to break. This is this show's going to go really fast. We have Jen Hewlin in studio. We'll be right back. Before we do that, though, if in fact you are going to watch the All-Star Game, a place to do that would be Hooters Restaurants. They have all kinds of happy hour specials, and actually they have great wings. Their smoked wings are half the calories. So their locations are Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And be sure and check out my website. I have all my sponsors there. I highly recommend each and every one of them. Click on the Hooters tab, and that will show you all the specials that they have going on for this month. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Jen Hewlin.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And my friends, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, that's the big one right now, or the other one, this latest silent thief that is government-induced inflation, and we now have Bidenflation as well. Our quote for today, I had to go to Babe Ruth since it is the All-Star Game, and he was born in 1895. He died in 1948. He was an American professional baseball player whose career in Major League Baseball spanned 22 seasons from 1914 through 1935. He was nicknamed the Bambino, the Sultan of SWAT. He began his Major League Baseball career as a star left-handed pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, but achieved his greatest fame as a slugging outfielder for the New York Yankees. And so instead of watching the game tonight, because I'm just really frustrated, I think I'm going to watch The Sandlot.
I love that movie.
I love that movie, too. I think that's what I'm going to do. Anyway, and this is really, I would say this is you as well. Never let the fear of striking out get in your way.
100%. When I was a young girl, I was a teenager, I was at an event where we had a person talking to us, and this guy got up there and he said, you know, I've been a millionaire and I've been in the poorhouse. I've been in the poorhouse twice. I've been a millionaire three times. He said, and I'm going to tell you how. I never stopped. So even when I lost everything, it didn't stop me. I wasn't a failure. It was just I failed at that.
He wasn't a victim.
He said, I did this and I sold I think it was vacuum cleaners or something along the lines. And that has followed me through the years. I'm almost 50 now, so God bless. But, you know, when you're out there and you're sticking your neck out, that's why I'm not worried about closing the winery, because I know whatever I'm going to do next is going to be amazing.
It is.
And I have made so many wonderful people and met so many wonderful people, made so many great friends like yourself, Patty, Steve over here. I don't know if he considers himself my friend or not, but I like to call and bug him early in the morning. And but just I think with the community that I've built and the friendships that I've made, I might run for office. It's hard to say what I'm going to do. I might. I don't know. Maybe. But I'll tell you what, one thing I'm not going to stop doing is fighting back against the health department, Tri-County Health, I'm coming for you. And the governor, I don't know, I probably just put a target on my back.
But there wasn't one.
Well, that's true. I wonder if they're celebrating that I'm closing. I wonder if they've heard yet.
Very interesting. How much of the story do you want to tell?
I mean,
it's been pretty amazing. Remember early on where you decided to not close?
Correct.
And you had people that were reporting you.
Well, I did close. I closed for the first 2 weeks when all of the COVID stuff, and they said, I think it was March 17th, it was St. Patrick's Day.
Flatten the curve.
Right, the 2 weeks flatten the curve. And I was like, yeah, just like everybody else, that's really scary. Man, zombie apocalypse, what's happening? Mm-hmm. And, but I come from a long line of freedom people. You know, my grandfather fought in World War II. My husband fought during the first Gulf War on a nuke sub. And, you know, we sat around and we were listening to things and analyzing the data. And I have a lot of wine club members that are in the hospital facilities. And so I would hear something.
You mean working there? Or?
Yeah, they run emergency rooms. They're nurses, they're doctors. I've got a lot of people that surround me, including in my family. And so early on, it seemed a little weird. So we did reopen and do the curbside to go. So that was all of April. So we were following the rules. Mm-hmm. But none of the stuff was adding up. And what we were being told wasn't the truth. And this 2 weeks was now 4 weeks. And so I had been attending Reopen Colorado rallies down at the State House. It was back before it was all spray painted and broken.
Right.
It was beautiful. And all these patriots came out there and they were like, no. We are all essential. Remember that? Mm-hmm. The essential workers.
The essential and non-essential. Oh, yeah.
Even some of my dear, dear friends that are conservative, they would clutch their pearls and say, I'm essential. And I'd say, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Yeah. John Caldera actually sent me a sticker that said, you are essential, which is amazing. I love you. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. The idea of some people were essential and some weren't, which was insane. And and I get it. If people are very fearful, I see how they bought into that. But we were all essential. I was essential to my employees and to me and my house. You know, my small business.
Payment?
Yeah, my small business loan is tied to my home. So we decided to reopen. So we reopened fully on May 1st. And it was 1 week, 7 days of absolute craziness. I heard from Tri-County Health. I heard from the liquor enforcement. I heard from the police officers stop by. Almost as just a threat. They didn't actually come out and say anything, though. They said, oh, we're just checking on you. And I'm like, sure you are. But we heard from the attorney.
And we appreciate our police. This has 100%. Put our police in a terrible situation.
It really did. And the good news is with Arapahoe County, which is where my business is, the officers that came in, they were very like-minded. They were very kind, and I'm sure they were sent in because I heard from the attorney general's office. Can you believe that? They called to say, why won't you comply? I have heard the word comply more times over the last year than I care to even tell you. I've been threatened with jail. I've been threatened with fines. And every time I got a little bit more angry and my redheadedness came out and I said, you know, heck no, you are not going to back me down. And they kept coming in and they would just show up and they would bring in 3-4 people from the health department and they would open every single drawer because I gave them permission to, by having my license, they could come in and do an inspection. And that's what they did it under. And then I finally realized that, you know, they were just there to harass me. And I had explained, I said, look, I'm incapable of wearing a mask. So why are you here? I've already talked to you about this. My favorite moment, though, I think I've told you this, and Steve, you'll probably chuckle, but this young man from the health department, I won't mention his name, Dylan, came in, and he got in my face, and he was yelling at me, why won't you just comply? You're trying to kill grandmas. You're killing everyone. And at that point, we had been watching the suicide rate go through the roof for young people. Mm-hmm. People were depressed. People were losing their businesses. And I said, well, you know, we've only had, and I think at that time it was under 2,000 people. And mind you, I never want to say only because every single one of those lives is precious. Mm-hmm. But
I'm also not sure that the reporting was
correct.
I mean, COVID is a thing. We realize
for
that.
Sure.
And people have died from that.
Sure.
But the other thing is there was all this mistruth around
right.
there because
right.
I had actually gotten a letter from a nursing home facility right there in Arapahoe County where the health department had come in and changed cause of death on
yes.
death certificates.
That was right down the street from
yes,
my
I
business.
Know.
Yeah.
I know. And so when if you're lying to me over here.
Right.
What's going on over here?
And that is exactly where my head was at. I'm a facts and figures kind of gal. Tell me the truth and then let me make decisions based on that. Because I was born under the Constitution. I have freedoms. I don't care if you make laws to take those away. The reality, the truth of it is I still have those freedoms. Doesn't mean you're not stepping all over them, but I have them. So that's how I looked at it. And that's why I stepped up. And that's why I kept fighting. And I won't stop. Actually, the really quick little story. The last time I heard from Tri-County, they called me. It was probably about 2.5 months ago now. And they said, you know, you are the worst business. You've had the most complaints. And I said, oh, how many have I had? And they said, you have 38 complaints against your business. You're the worst. And I said, that makes me number one. and then we had a quick discussion. And the gist of it was, if you had actual authority to shut me down, you would have done it back on complaint number 5. Why are you still calling me at 38? Because you know I'm not going to back down because I'm standing up for my rights. And they have to squash bugs like me because I'm scary, because I spread this idea of rights and freedom, and they hate me for it because they're fearful. They're fearful. And so all of you guys out there, if you're business owners and they come for us again and start shutting people down, I'm telling you, fight back, stand up, maintain your footing and don't back down. You've got rights.
Well, we do. And they are just walking all over them. And before we get to Valerie Richardson, don't know if you saw this. And actually, I think Tucker Carlson talked about this last night. But this is an article from Politico. And it says, potentially a death sentence, White House goes off on vaccine fearmongers. And it says, the Biden administration is casting conservative opponents of its COVID-19 vaccine campaign. We should actually call it an emergency or an experimental drug.
Correct.
As dangerous and extreme, adopting a more aggressive political posture in an attempt to maneuver through the public health conundrum. And the White House has decided to hit back harder on misinformation and scare tactics after Republican lawmakers and conservative activists pledged to fight the administration's stated plans to go door to door to increase vaccination rates. But going on down here into the piece, it says the Biden allied groups, including the Democrat National Committee, are also planning to engage fact checkers more aggressively and work with SMS carriers, that's your phone carriers, to dispel misinformation about vaccines that is sent over social media and text messages.
How do they know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't?
There's
I
a database.
There was a privacy.
Oh, well, that's what we realized. There
so
must
no.
be a database, right?
Right. Okay. No, for sure.
The goal is to ensure that people who may have difficulty getting a vaccine because of issues like transportation see those barriers lessened and removed entirely. We are steadfastly committed to keeping politics out of the effort
right.
to get every American vaccinated so that we can save lives and help our economy further recover. White House spokeswoman Kevin Munoz, whatever his name is, when we see deliberate efforts to spread misinformation, we view that as an impediment to the country's public health and will not shy away from calling that out. This is terrifying.
It is terrifying. In the censorship that's going on, all of the doctors that disagree with this have been removed. I've been listening to a couple of different podcasts. Joe Rogan had a guy on, Dr. Corey, who testified in front of Congress that ivermectin is one of the most beneficial solutions. It's cheap because it's out of, what do you call it, the when you don't have a control over it anymore, you can do the non-brand or the off-label.
Generic.
Generic, exactly. Yeah. So it's cheap and it's effective. And the problem is, if you can take this and this is a functional way to prevent or to cure or help.
Treat.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not cure, but treat, then this emergency approved vaccine can't continue. And that's the problem. They can't make money from ivermectin. It's too cheap.
And they can't control you.
And they can't control us.
So, hey, let's go to break. This is Jen Hewlin, who is in studio with me. You know her. She's the owner of Water's Edge Winery. And it is closing on Thursday. And so go by and say hi. What time do you open today?
We'll be open from 3 to 9 the next 3 days.
Okay.
And please, please, please make a reservation unless you're stopping in just for a bottle, because we are booked.
Yay.
We've got a lot of people that want to come in and say hi and bye and grab their favorites. And we're running out of all of our wines.
Okay.
But we still have plenty. But
it's a good problem to have.
Yes, so yes.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Valerie Richardson, and she'd written a piece back, I think it was in April. She writes for the Washington Times, and she said, Stacey Abrams is to blame for $100 million price tag of the lost All-Star game. And I guess Rand Paul said that, and so she reported on that. I can't wait to talk with her about that. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds, and we're going to be ramping up on our podcasts again here soon. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and thank you, as each and every one of you are contributing. Do take a look at the website. There's a couple of op-eds. Patty Kurgan, our researcher, did one regarding this Initiative 25 leap. It's basically, they're out in the petition phase to try to get this on the ballot. If we can keep it off the ballot, that would be a really, really good thing. But it's to raise marijuana taxes even more for the children. So take a look at that. We both
the marijuana's for the children or the taxes?
They say the taxes to help the children.
Okay.
But who I really see is the tax really helps is bureaucrats, politicians, and interested parties.
Right.
So let's decline to sign Initiative 25 as they're out in front of your grocery store, and let's try to keep that baby off the ballot. In studio with me is Jen Hewlin. You know her. She's been a great sponsor of the show. She's closing Water's Edge Winery on Thursday. I'm going to stay tuned because I think Act Two is going to be really, really interesting. But as we were preparing and going into break, Rand Paul says that Stacey Abrams is to blame for the $100 million that Georgia lost by moving the All-Star game to Colorado. And you said that they told Rand Paul to sit down.
Yeah, he was in Congress. I don't remember exactly. I was watching a video, and they basically said, like, hey, you really don't have anything to say about this. I heard a bunch of people say that.
It was about COVID, right?
Yeah, COVID stuff, yeah. And he's a doctor. So either we believe the science and the scientists, or we don't. I don't know. But a lot of people have been shut down that
They
that
told him to sit down, huh?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, let's jump over here to Valerie Richardson. Hey, Valerie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
I was looking at this. So tonight's the All-Star Game here in Denver, and I find it curious how Denver got that so quickly when they decided to move it. But you'd written a piece, this was back in April, about what Rand Paul had said about that Stacey Abrams really is the person to blame for the $100 million that Georgia business people lost.
Yeah, what happened, as you know, with the All-Star Game was that in reaction to, there was a corporate pushback after Georgia passed its election law, and Rob Manfred, who heads who's the commissioner of Major League Baseball, reacted himself by announcing that he would pull the All-Star Game out of Georgia, or out of Atlanta, where it was scheduled to be played, and then a few days later said that it would be held in Denver. And at that point, there was, as you know, this sort of enormous corporate uprising against the Georgia law, but the moving the Major League Baseball game seemed to really backfire on this effort. The critics of it immediately came out and said, look, this game brings $100 million to the community of Atlanta. And Atlanta is 51% black. It has a large proportion of black-owned businesses, and you've just moved the All-Star game in the name of racial justice to the whitest city in baseball. So that wound up becoming a big talking point for Republicans, let me tell you. In fact, they've got ads running right now in both Georgia and Denver criticizing the decision that are going to be timed for the All-Star game. And one person that got zeroed in on this during this whole thing was Stacey Abrams, because she was a huge critic, as you know, of the Georgia election law. She's an enormous Democratic power broker in Georgia. And she was coming out and calling the law, you know, Jim Crow 2.0. And so, you know, and on a bunch of corporations, Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, a bunch of these companies that are Atlanta-based came out and they criticized the law too. And then you had Rob Manfred jump on board and say, you know, we're going to move the All-Star game. Well, at that point, I think Stacey Abrams and a lot of Democrats realized that this was sort of backfiring on them. And so they started saying, you know, no, we never, you know, wanted the All-Star game to be moved. That wasn't, you know, they were saying that they didn't want to see a boycott. Like, we never wanted Atlanta to be boycotted, because there were people at that point calling for boycotts, and the Major League Baseball moving the All-Star game was essentially a boycott. So Rand Paul came swinging back and said, you know, look, these are the people that created the conditions for Major League Baseball to pull the game. I mean, they, you know, but they may say they didn't want to see that, but and they weren't calling for boycotts, but they did everything right up to that point to gin up the opposition to what was happening in Georgia. So yeah, he basically said that his quote was, Stacey Abrams and the Democrats cost Georgia $100 million in revenue, because they complained about something they didn't read, and they said something about it that wasn't true, referring to the Jim Crow 2.0 argument.
Well, and so, you mentioned something there, Valerie, is that they didn't read it. And I'm seeing this also out here in Colorado. I just mentioned this thing, this Initiative 25. They call it LEAP. It's ostensibly, it's a raising the marijuana tax significantly, which I submit to you, I think will create more of a black market, which will create more crime. And in fact, there was a political article that said that as well. But people don't read it. People have gotten to a point now where they rely on experts or advertising out there. We need to get back to reading what we are voting on and understanding it, instead of relying on people to tell us that this is what it says. And from what I can tell, I have not read I've not read the Georgia law, but my understanding is it's kind of shoring up election security, and we need to do that. That's really important. That is not racist. It's if we don't have good elections, we don't have a country, Valerie.
Right. It's obviously there's a huge battle right now going on in the states, including Georgia, over election access versus election integrity. A lot of the states loosened up the rules to make things easier during COVID, and what Georgia was trying to do is pull it back after that. And there was a huge backlash, obviously, from Democrats who said you're trying to, you know, thwart people from getting to the polls, particularly minorities. And Republicans saying, no, we're just trying to make sure that, you know, some of the, you know, the questions about whether or not, you know, things were too loose in the last election get answered. And we want to make sure that, you know, we shore up the points of, you know, potential failure on integrity. So that's the argument being played out there. And you have seen a number of red states trying to sort of pull things back to make things, you know, to increase, say, ID requirements so that you have to have an ID, a photo ID to vote. Georgia was doing that with absentee ballots, for example, you know, to increase that requirement. And so it's an argument being played out right now. And but clearly in Georgia, the Democrats, you know, were they had the ear of the corporations at the very least, because they really ginned up a lot of opposition to that law as soon as it got passed, and it generated a lot of corporate opposition, which was then hit with a backlash. And then you saw some of the companies like Coca-Cola coming out and saying, well, you know, we just want to make sure everything's fair and we're just going to look at this and, you know, sort of back off a little bit. But not Major League Baseball. And it's one of the it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out during the All-Star game. I mean, I think that some of these commercials are supposed to air during the All-Star game. And we'll see if there are protests. We'll see if anybody comments on it. But it definitely came as, you know, I'm sure the All-Star game will be a fine event. Apparently the Home Run Derby was great. But there's going to be an asterisk by this, just in the terms of the fact that this was supposed to be Atlanta's year, and you're there honoring Henry Aaron, and it's not. It's in Denver.
Well, a couple of comments on this. First of all, Hank Aaron had gotten the COVID vaccine and died like 3 or 4 weeks later. And, of course, they said there's no correlation. But I thought that was curious. But the other thing is this narrative that minorities somehow don't have photo ID, that they're not able to present that. I'm wondering if minorities go down here to the ticket office at Will Call at Coors Field and don't have ID and ask for their tickets, if they're going to get their tickets. What do you think, Val?
Well, there was certainly that argument made when all this was going on, pointing to Major League Baseball and saying, look, you can't get roll call tickets unless you have ID. And yet you're saying that, you know, it's Jim Crow 2.0, or it's racist to require voters to show, you know, state ID. So, so that was certainly pointed at that argument. It's an interesting point. I mean, you have polls showing that, you know, people do think that there should be, you know, voter ID given and that there should be voter integrity. And yet, you know, it's at the same time, you've got the Democrats saying, well, this is, you're just, what all this is doing is it's all aimed at trying to keep people away from the polls by putting these requirements on and sort of discouraging them and, you know, making it difficult, creating hurdles. It's like I said, it's a big philosophical argument playing out right now. And you're kind of getting to the point where different state, you know, you have very different rules in different states. I mean, for example, Colorado with all mail-in voting, you know, Colorado's got some of the it's one of the most accessible states in the nation. I mean, it's very easy to vote in Colorado. And
I'm not sure, yeah. Valerie, I'm not sure that voting should just be easy, because people look at this in America that the right to vote is a sacred thing. And you heard Obama and Michelle Obama out there, vote, 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 vote. Yes. However, we need to know what we're voting on. That's why we do our voter's guide, is to try to have a good tool for people to use that they can trust and then look at it and make up their minds. But voting shouldn't just necessarily be easy, because if you don't know what you're voting you can be affected by the advertisements and all the things that are out there. And I submit that voting is a responsibility. I'm not sure that it should be quote unquote easy. I'm going to ask, let's leave that question on the table. When we come back, I'll have Jen Hewland, who's in studio, comment on that, and then Valerie will have you talk about that as well. Before we do that, though, and go to break, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of the Kim Munson Show. It's a family-owned business located in Sedalia, Colorado. They have an amazing selection of knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you're getting a gift for someone, or you're a collector or a sportsman, a chef, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to check out. Their website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. Valerie Richardson, a writer with the Washington Times, is on the line, and Jen Hewlin is in studio. When we come back, we'll talk about should voting be easy.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice out there. As we are looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, searching for truth and clarity, one of my great partners is in studio with me, and that is Jen Hewlin, owner of Waters Edge Winery. And she's closing the winery on Thursday. So I know there's a lot of people that want to drop by and say hello.
That is true. Yes, we look forward to seeing every one of you guys.
And hours again?
We are open 3 to 9 this week. So today, tomorrow, and then Thursday will be our last day. So we close the doors at 9 on Thursday. That's it. Yeah. No more wine. Unless you come to my house.
Okay. And you're Act 2. I'm getting excited about what that's going to be.
Yeah, we're not sure, but I have a feeling it's going to have something to do with what we're doing today. So okay. Something along those lines.
Okay, sounds great. Hey, a question on the table. Should voting be easy?
Well, I think the easy answer for that is no, it shouldn't be easy. I don't particularly want people that are uninformed voting. I don't want people that aren't citizens voting. I don't want, what are they trying to make 16-year-olds legal to vote? Mm-hmm. I mean, have you met a 16-year-old? I was 16 once. I did not make good choices, right?
So that's why they want 16-year-olds to vote.
Right. The indoctrination.
Connect that dot.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. So no, I think, I mean, we're not talking the old day poll tax or that sort of thing or landowners only. But if you don't know what you're voting on, I'd rather you stay home, right? If you're uninformed and you just happen to know a person's name or you heard an article once or, you know, on the radio an ad, then that's not what I'm looking for. If you're not informed on the issues, because things are created to confuse today, and they do it on purpose. You ever read, that's why we did those blue books down at the winery, because you could see the way something's written is actually the opposite of what you think it says. Right. So really delving in and getting down to the base details is like, oh, okay.
And that's why we did the voter's guide. You can't trust that blue book anymore.
No.
Because actually one of the questions the proponents of it put in both the pro and the con on it. Mm-hmm. So you can't trust that anymore.
Right.
Hey, Valerie Richardson, a question on the table. And actually, producer said during break that apparently Biden is going to be delivering a big speech today on voting, which I'm sure that's going to be interesting. But Valerie, should voting be easy?
You know, I will tell you, I am a newspaper reporter and I'm not an opinion writer, so I'm going to leave that for the pundits to debate. But what I will say is that obviously it's a huge issue right now, and in Congress you've got H.R. 1 up, the For the People Act, and Biden is behind that. He's all for it, and it's a bill that would basically put the federal government in charge of the requirements for voting in states, and it's got enormous support among Democrats and huge opposition among Republicans.
Well, because the founders were very very thoughtful in how they set up this government, and wanted to make sure that states had sovereignty where it was necessary, and that the federal government actually was supposed to be very, very limited. And of course, we've seen that has been flipped, and this last election has been just really brought a lot of clarity to things. But let's just mention one other thing. And as a reporter, I found it so interesting, Valerie, that Denver was named as where the Major League Baseball All-Star Game was going to play very quickly. Did you, in your reporting, did you see anything, I'm going to say interesting, about how quickly that happened?
You know, I think what it was that Denver had already put in an application to get a future All-Star game. So it was already going through the process of applying and saying we want this and we've got all these things in place. And so it was one of the cities that was kind of a natural because it was already, okay. already expressed interest and it had already been preparing for it. So yeah, and Denver, there were the other thing that probably helped was that there weren't a lot of controversies in Denver about voting because we have a Democratic governor and two branches of the both branches of the state legislature are Democratic and everybody's on the same page. And so there are no fights going on over voting in Colorado like there are in, say, Georgia and other and some of the other states.
Stay tuned, though, because as we are looking at Colorado, there are people out there that are questioning. In fact, there's been a tremendous amount of pressure on county clerks. And I want to say good for all of you out there that are contacting your county clerks and demanding basically that Secretary of State Jenna Griswold not update the hardware on these machines yet until we've had a chance to take a look at it. On the other hand, Secretary of State Jenna Griswold issued an executive rule, we're not sure that she could, that no third party can look at our voting systems here. And then just recently, there's a bipartisan group that looks at elections, and she is trying to stop that as well. Here we go. Colorado GOP argues change to election committee meeting rule would impede transparency. And apparently she's changing a rule on that. So we've got interesting stuff going on out here, Valerie.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like the Secretary of State is in a bit of a tussle here over transparency.
And that is one thing that most people, I think, Jen Hewlin, whether or not, now I know that the people that are kind of the radical socialists moving us towards communists, they don't want transparency.
Correct.
But I think there's a big wide swath of Democrats and libertarians and Republicans and conservatives and independents that do want transparency, Jen.
I mean, transparency is what I would imagine most people want. We want to know whether it's to your benefit or to your negative. We want to know what the picture is. We don't want hidden things because then we become Cuba. We become Venezuela, right? We need to know what people that we have elected are doing on our behalf because they are representatives. They are not our leaders. They are our representatives. And so when they're making decisions behind closed doors, late at night, cameras off, you know, everything's hidden, that's when you get some interesting outcomes. And I think it's very dangerous. So yes, 100%. And I don't think it's partisan. I think it is across the board. Everybody wants to know, hey, what are you guys doing over there? Because the next time it might not be your party doing it.
Right. For sure. Valerie Richardson, as we're looking into the future, I was looking at, I mean, you do a vast amount of work for the Washington Times. And
well, thank you. I'll let my editors know that you said that.
What do you see as you're reporting here in the future on all of these voting laws? What do you think is going to happen?
I'm sure this is all going to wind up in the courts. I mean, a number of red states. I want to say that something like 17 states at this point have enacted voting rules this year aimed at increasing voter integrity, which the critics are saying is cutting access. And so I'm sure that there will be lawsuits. This will undoubtedly all wind up at some point in the Supreme Court, you know, possibly years in the future. But yeah, it's probably going to wind up where most of these things do, and that's in a court battle. And Democrats, obviously, in Congress are also going to be pushing very hard for H.R. 1. Right now, it doesn't look like it has any chance. It's passed the House, but it's in the Senate, and, you know, they don't have the votes there to get it past the filibuster. So unless somebody decides to waver on the filibuster, and I'm thinking of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema here, you're probably not going to see that pass in this particular legislative session. But Biden is going to come out today and make a big speech about voter integrity, and he's going to talk about the history of denying people the right to vote, and you know, literacy tests and poll taxes, and really try to, you know, get an emotional response from people to get behind this sort of thing. So we will. They certainly aren't giving up.
Well, I think it's important to note that the Jim Crow laws were passed by Democrats in the South,
And I think that we need to realize that it was the Republicans. It was Abraham Lincoln at the beginning of the Republican Party that stood against slavery. And I think people need to understand that. So, hey, Val Richardson, we've got a couple of minutes left. What's the final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners?
I would say it'll be interesting to see tonight what goes on at the All-Star Game, whether the Democrats run ads, whether there's protests, whether we see a lot of commentary on this. I'll be certainly watching to see how this plays out, because and whether there's anything once the game is over after this, are the other sports, the other major sports, I'm sure the other major sports are watching this, the other professional sports, and they're, you know, undoubtedly taking notes about how much push that back there has been toward Major League Baseball. And it may cause them to think twice before they sort of, you know, jump with both feet into the political realm.
Well, and to that point, when my soft drink of choice is Coca-Cola. But I've not had a Coca-Cola since this whole thing started. Val Richardson, thank you so much for joining us today. And that's Valerie Richardson. She writes for the Washington Times.
Thanks very much for having me.
And Jen Hewlin, I'm going to try not to cry.
No, there's no crying. Not this early. I'm not wearing my waterproof Lancome today.
Water's Edge Winery is closing on Thursday. And you've been just a great partner of the show, and I will drive by that location every day probably for the rest of my life thinking of the magic that happened there.
All right, now you're going to make me cry. You know, we have loved each and every moment that we've been there and all of the wonderful things that we've done. I remember before we even became friends, I think we were doing political things there. Mm-hmm. I think it was something to do with World War II.
Yeah, oh, that's right. We did one of our talks on our World War II veterans.
It was such a wonderful talk, too. And then we actually went and met some of the World War II veterans. I remember you and Molly put that on years ago. But so that place to me, I think the biggest problem is I need to find a new job that allows me to talk to my girlfriends about politics and drink wine. And I just I'm not sure who's out there that's going to let me do that.
Well, stay tuned for Jen Hewlin's Act 2, because I think it's going to be amazing. Our quote for today is from Babe Ruth. He said, "It's hard to beat a person who never gives up." Jen Hewlin, you never give up. And I love you for that. My friends, today, be grateful. Read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.